Tonight, I'd like to invite you back over to our text from this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 reads this way. It says, "Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people, as your church, and then also understanding that where two or three are gathered together, there are you in our very midst. And so we thank you for your presence this evening. We ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit that we might hear from you and worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, that we might understand more about the salvation that you've given to us and more how you desire to glorify yourself in and through us. Bless your word tonight, bless your people, and may we all be able to say it's been good to be in your house. For we ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is, again, simply entitled Delivered. This is the rest of the story, part two, if you will. And we already looked at the testimony of troubles and tribulations, but we want to look at tonight deliverance defined, and then the last thought will be all the promises of God in him are yea. And so this is important. This gives us insight as to how God works in our lives and through our lives. It is God's will that he glorifies himself in our lives. That's amazing. We can never do that in our strength, but that is the will of God when he saved us, that he would glorify himself through us. Now, here's the truth. God saves us, and that's by grace through faith, and that gives us and grants us eternal life. We are adopted as his children. We're placed into his families. We become joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, I'm afraid to say that many do not experience the grace of God in their lives because of the difficulty in understanding that we can never do that in our strength. That is such a simple concept and yet really hard to understand. We have such a natural man is stronger than we give him credit for. We resort, we revert, we fall into the natural man. The spiritual man is something that's done on purpose. If you're not pressing toward the mark, if you're not trying to seek the Lord through the Spirit, you're not going to do it. You'll revert, you'll naturally. My experience, we will have the natural tendency to serve the Lord and look through the eyes of the flesh instead of the eyes of the Spirit. We'll see things from human wisdom instead of God's wisdom, and that's still our tendency. So in other words, it has to be on purpose, with purpose, to understand the truths that God has for us. So with that said, let me invite you here. Let's understand deliverance defined, how God delivers us. Look at verse 10 with me, and he says this, "Who delivered us from so great a death." Now that's talking about eternal life. We've been delivered. We never have to worry about that again. The world doesn't understand that. The lost man does not. How? So that means you can live like you want to live, and you can just live like the devil, and you're going to go to heaven. Well, that's true in a sense. But if we're saved by the grace of God, that's not going to be our desire. That's because of the love of God, because we truly experience the love of God, we would say, that's not what I want to do. I have a tendency to do those things, but that's not really my heart's desire. God changed my desire when I got saved. And so we have the entrance before the throne of God because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, not ours. It's nothing that we've done. So when I live for Christ, it's through the grace of Christ and through the power of God that I can live for him. And so I didn't come before his throne. I didn't come into his family by anything that I've done. I simply received a gift of eternal life that granted me entrance into his family. So now I'm a child of the King. Amen? That will never change because we've been born again into his family. And just like you were physically born into your family, personally, your earthly family, no matter what you do, you can change your last name. It won't change the fact who your mom and dad were. Isn't that true?
And you are who you are because of your mom and dad. And praise God, we are what we are by the grace of God through the second birth. And so we praise the Lord. Let's not make light of that. The world mocks being born again. That was my eternal life. I will never take that lightly. I will always appreciate that and thank the Lord and still ask, I don't know why, God, you did it. But you did, and I thank you for it. And so we praise the Lord for that. So he says here, he delivered us from so great a death. And this is the wonderful truth now. It doesn't just stop there. And doth deliver, that's in the present tense, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. So this is a continual working of God. This is God's work that he is doing. Did you see that? It said that he did it all, right? He delivered us from so great a death. And also he does deliver us and he will yet deliver us. That's all the work of God and we can rest in that. So with that said, we want to move on here and we want to see our conversation in the world. Now, I want to remind you again, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church. In the first epistle of the book of 1 Corinthians, he was coming to them and he was rebuking them. There was a fellow who had taken his stepmother like a wife. And Paul was saying, that should never be. That should not even be mentioned. That should be so far apart. And yet, listen, they were still a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had committed, and by the way, they even got a little bit put out with Paul, and they were questioning the authority. Some in the Corinthian church were questioning Paul's authority. And they were making light of that, and Paul was the instrument that God used to open up their hearts and minds to understand their need for eternal life, and they trusted the Lord through the preaching of Paul, and now they're coming back at him. Some, not all, were saying, "Well, we don't even know if you really have this authority that you think you have." Well, if he didn't, then they don't have eternal life because it was through his preaching that God opened up the truth to them. So I want you to understand this was not a perfect church, and yet Paul was trying to communicate to them a liberating truth that would help them to enjoy their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's take a look into that. He says, verse 11, ye also helping together by prayer for us. Again, remember, it's not a perfect church, but they were praying for the Apostle Paul. And this is a good thing. And notice that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. And so he says, listen, you were helping us through prayer. You understood the gift that was given. And the eternal life and how God answers prayer. And you were working in cooperation with us in that verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience that is in the simplicity of godly sincerity. This is important. What is godly sincerity? Well, I am sincerely seeking the Lord. I am not deceptively. Sincerely means, has in the Greek, without wax. So in other words, during, especially in the Corinthian times, they made a lot of porcelain or different types of figurines and vases or vases, however you want to say it. And dishonest merchants, sometimes in the heating process of these vessels, these vases or vases, they would crack. And people would travel from all different parts to come and make purchases. A dishonest merchant would put wax in the crack so the person could fill it up with water. Oh, look, it doesn't leak. It's a good vase. Well, a little time goes by. If that sits out in the sun, the wax melts and the vase springs a leak, right? That it had right along. So, in other words, it was a facade, wasn't it? It was a front to deceive somebody. To thinking that it was something that was solid that was cracked. And so God is wanting us to sincerely seek him, not without any ulterior motives, but simply for the glory of God and for us to truly... In other words, it's not just academics. It's not just for the sake of doctrine. It's not just for a ritual practice. It's a genuine desire to experience the work of God in our lives. See, that's approaching the throne of God in all sincerity. With this idea, Lord, I have nothing to offer you. Do we have anything to offer the Lord? Just ourselves, God. And by the way, aren't you glad? That's all he's asking for. God says, if you'll just give me yourself, I will make of you the vessel unto my honor and glory. I will do that work in and through you. So what all we have to do is say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I'm going to trust what you've said and that you'll bring me into this relationship that you want me to have with you. So he says in verse 12, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, not with the natural man, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation or our manner of life in the world and more abundantly to you ward. In other words, I'm not trying to pretend I'm something I'm not. I am coming to you with all complete honesty, no deception, nothing hidden. I let you. He told them that, listen, we despaired even of life. I mean, we were pressed out of measure. Didn't we hear that this morning? Paul was up front. He said, I'm not making any bones. I'm not making any false pretenses to make you think that I'm something that I'm not. I'm wanting you to see the real deal. I'm wanting you to understand this relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying there's not tribulation. There are tribulations that come into our life, but there's a God that brings a lesson and brings us through these tribulations and trials that would honor and glorify him. And so Paul is saying, I want you to understand this up front. By the way, they tasted this. You and I also in salvation have tasted the grace of God. We could say that salvation is simply all by the grace of God. Is that true? I did absolutely nothing. God did it all. Praise God. Isn't that good? And so I know I'm saved. How about you? God brings a confirmation in our spirit. You belong to me. And by the way, because you belong to me, you are in my hands forever. No man can take you out. Well, that's something to celebrate. That's something to get excited about. But then God says, but that's just the beginning. And I want you to know, just as you received eternal life, so likewise can you receive the new life in me, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is a process. And so when we see something in the Word of God that doesn't line up with our life, we say, Lord, there's a problem. And I will tell you this, it's on my part. I have misunderstood something, but I'm asking you to clarify, to teach me so that I can learn as the Apostle Paul in whatsoever state I'm in to experience your grace in my life and your power in my life. Because, Lord, I do want you to glorify yourself in me. Forgive me if I've stepped in the way. If you've fallen into sin, guess who's in the way? If you're failing the Lord, guess who's in the way? Certainly it's not the Lord that's made a mistake in our lives. Obviously it's our mistake, right? Obviously it's our misstep or misunderstanding. So Lord, I'm going to bring you the problem. Don't do this. The devil would have you say, well, bless God, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'll just be like this until I see Jesus. Well, don't do that. Because God says he wants to glorify himself in and through us. So, Lord, forgive me for getting in the way. I'm presenting myself again and asking you to show me how I can stay out of the way so that you can do your work and fulfill your will. I want to enjoy your presence, your presence in my life, your guidance in my life. I want to see you glorify yourself. All right. So, he says this again in verse 12 in the middle. And godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, or our manner of living, our manner of life in the world, and more abundantly to you, Lord. Towards this church, we were more upfront, more honest, and more with complete sincerity, not hiding anything, not getting you to believe. You know what? Listen, I have different conversations, you know, with my family at different times, and One of my children at home, that's not really a child anymore, so it was Jessica, said, you know, I really appreciated, just in case you wondered, said, I really appreciated Brother Smith and his preaching. He was vulnerable. He made himself vulnerable. He told us about kicking the dog. You remember that? Kick the dog. And how the Lord spoke to him through Proverbs about how a godly man takes care of his beast. And he made the comment, I'm sure that's towards agriculture, and technically that's true, but God uses his word to speak to us, and I am convinced, just as he was convinced, that the Lord was dealing with him concerning his treatment of his dog. And pointing that out, that was no doubt, listen, a clear communication from the word of God to an action that he had committed. He came to us in all sincerity so that we can understand how God deals with us. No, listen, forget it. We're not perfect, and we all know that. Let's not put on any airs, and let's not take any of God's credit for anything that's good. Let's give it all to the Lord, because it's not in us, but it is in God, is it not? Who is in us? So let's let the Lord who is in us live his life through us. And again, now listen, that distinction, boy, oh boy, because he's in us and we're in him, it's kind of hard to tell. Remember, I've mentioned in the past that the Bible alludes to the Spirit, and a lot of times it alludes to the Holy Spirit, and it's in lowercase because the translators could not differentiate, is this the Spirit of God or the Spirit of man? Well, guess what? It's both. Because they're both intertwined. When he quickened our spirit, he lives within us. And so that differentiating there is just like Peter, remember this morning, Lord, thou art the Son of God. And he said, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father. Well, that's a wonderful revelation. God did a wonderful thing. And the next breath, Peter's telling him, you can't go to the cross. And the Lord says, get thee behind me, Satan. So it's just that fine of a line. Let's just admit the fine line and realize it's such a delicate balance, if you will, that we need to keep before the Lord, or we're going to be thinking we're doing something good and we're not savoring the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And so Brother Smith was saying, hey, listen, I'm telling you this, I want you to know, and how the Lord spoke to him personally concerning that incident, right? And by the way, we need the Lord to speak to us concerning incidents in our life that we do in the flesh. So he came to us in all simplicity, in all sincerity, with the truth. Paul is approaching these people as well, this church. And by the way, the Lord knew that this message would be preached throughout all the ages. Specifically, the Lord knew that, believe it or not, listen, do you believe this? The Lord knew that this message would be preached in this church tonight. For the edification of his people, me included, in case you wondered. Amen? I need it too. I'm flesh and blood. There's nothing in me. I fail. That's okay, but I don't want to walk in that. I want the Lord to empower his life, because empower my life for his honor and glory, because that brings worship. And that brings, listen, that brings substance to our faith. You can tell me all that you want, but if I can see the hand of God continually in my life, you think you're going to shake my faith, or you think trials and tribulations are going to shake my faith? No, as long as I'm experiencing the power and the grace of God in my life, not my effort, but the power and the grace of God, I'm going to be like David. And when I face the giant, I'm going to say, but I remember the lion and the bear. Just as God delivered me from that, God's going to deliver me from this giant. And listen, my goodness, don't we face giants? And wait a minute, we may not have faced the biggest giant in our life. You would think that as you get older in the Lord, that you're going to accomplish something. Look at the Apostle Paul. All the way to the very end, he was pressing toward the mark. And he was walking circumspectly. That means he was looking all around himself to make sure that everything was yielded to the Lord, because he knew how simple or how delicate that balance is, how easy it is to say, thou art the Son of God, and the next moment say, you can't go to the cross. Far be it from me, Lord, that should be unto thee. And then, you savor not the things that be of God, but of men. So, verse 13, for we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge, even to what? Even to the end. Don't let up. seeking the Lord. Don't let up on the promises of God. Listen, just because you've made it out of Egypt and been freed, and just because you've gone through the Red Sea, doesn't mean that you'll trust God to enter into the promised land. So all the way, God, oh, how we need thee. All the way. So he says, verse 14, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing. We are your rejoicing. Praise the Lord for the person that led you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Praise the Lord. And so Paul says, you know, we're your rejoicing, but I want you to know Paul's saying you're our rejoicing. I praise the Lord that aren't you glad if you've ever led anybody to the Lord? Aren't you glad that he allowed you to do that? And that they can thank you. Listen, I have never forgotten the fellow that led me to the Lord. Never forgotten him. And you know what? I bet you he's never forgotten me. And we haven't seen each other in probably 30 plus years. But I've never forgotten him. And listen, I could just see him in my mind as God saved me. He was praising the Lord. I was in my car. I think I told you the story before. And he was praising the Lord, and I understood why, because he knew what was going on in my life as I was thanking the Lord for my salvation. And so it never gets old, or should never get old. So, again, verse 14, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in this confidence, look at the confidence, and in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before that ye might have a second benefit. Paul knew that he was an encouragement, spiritually speaking, to these people that he had begotten in the Lord. He wanted to disciple them. He wanted to minister to them. Do you think there was a place in Paul's heart for these people? You think he had a place in his heart for them? Do you remember what place he had for the people of God before he got saved? Death. But God changed his whole direction. He was wanting to show them more about the ways of life. Verse 16. So this is our rejoicing. We looked at our conversation in the world. We see our rejoicing now. Verse 16. And to pass by you into Macedonia and to come again out of Macedonia unto you and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness or the things that I purpose to do? I purpose according to the flesh that with me there should be yea and nay. He says yes and no. Is that what it's all about? But as God is true, verse 18, our word toward you was not yea and nay, yes and no. Verse 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Everything was positive. You know what that tells me? Everything in the Word of God is for our good. And for the furtherance of the glory of the Lord, listen, in and through our lives. If you detach yourself, when you listen to Paul, God is speaking to you. When you read the Word of God, God is trying to communicate a truth that will grant you more entrance into the grace of God. Now, obviously we're not talking about salvation, but we're talking about understanding how God glorifies himself through our lives. And by the way, listen, please don't take it like this. Remember, Paul said we were pressed out of measure. We despaired even of life. God created us with emotions. And you know what? We can hit low spots. But let me tell it to you like this. The reason why you and I are here tonight is because God brought us through those. He has brought us through those. Wait, he's bringing us through those, and he will yet bring us through those. Isn't that good? Where would we be without the Lord? I'd be a basket case. I say that in all sincerity. I'd be a basket case without the Lord. And yet, God wants you and I to have this kind of confidence in him. So notice again, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. Listen, unto the glory of God by who? By us. All right? Now, he which establisheth us with you in Christ. Listen to this. Paul is saying, now we're in this together, right? And he's saying, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Now, do you remember David was anointed by Samuel to be the next king with oil? Do you know what the olive oil that they used was a picture of? Holy Spirit, right? It was marking that individual to be blessed by the Lord, to fulfill a specific function. You and I have been blessed by the Lord. The holy anointing, he's telling you, has been given to you. You already have it. The thing is, listen, the light just needs to be turned on. Oh, that's how it works, right? That's how it works. We're not looking for something that we don't have. We're looking to understand how it works. We've already been given everything that we need in the Lord Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So he goes on and he says this, verse 21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Listen to this. Who hath also sealed us. If you're sealed, is anything getting out? Is anything getting in? Who hath sealed us, listen to this, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now, you know what the word earnest is? That's a deposit. That's what the word earnest means, it's a deposit, right? So if you're going to make a purchase, right? You're going to make a purchase, and a big purchase. Say you're going to buy a house, right? Don't you give a deposit? And what's the purpose of the deposit? You're saying, I am purchasing this item. I'm showing you my commitment. Whatever it is, I'm going to buy it. And so the seller is going to hold that until the purchase is completed. Well, praise God, in spiritual things, the purchase has already been made in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's giving to us the down payment that we might enjoy the purchase that God has already made. So you and I have been, in other words, he's saying, have you not already experienced the Holy Spirit in your life? Did you not experience the Holy Spirit confirming that your sins have been forgiven? Let me try that again. Have you not already experienced the assurance of the Holy Spirit that your sins have been forgiven?
Amen.
Amen? And have you not also experienced God speaking to you through his word? That's the working of the Holy Spirit. You've been given that. What for? To let you know who you are and to remind you and to bring you into the place of praise and worship to the Lord. God speaks to us. Now, the more that happens, the more it solidifies and confirms our relationship with the Lord. The world has none of that. I'm going to let you in on a little secret in case I never told you this. I tried reading the Bible before I got saved. I don't know why, but don't be impressed, because I got to the first D and the first thou, and I closed up the book. How long do you think that took? Not long at all. Not long at all. I didn't understand what I was looking at. All right, so let's see here. Watch this. Verse 22 again. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest, the down payment of the Spirit in our hearts. He's given that already. That's as good as sold, isn't it? In the heart of God. And it is purchased already. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. He said, I'm not trying to be hard on you guys. I'm trying to liberate. I'm trying to show you how to understand what you've been given in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminding you of what you've already had taken possession of, but for whatever reason, you got distracted, you got more involved in the natural realm, and you started falling as a church into all these things that ought not to be mentioned among the Gentiles. I don't want you to live a defeated life. Why? Because of what we've been given in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no reason. And so Paul is saying, listen, let me remind you, listen what Paul is saying, who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. You think Paul was elevating himself above them? You guys ought to listen. And by the way, when I say something, bless God, you better do it. Well, forget it. That never works. That's not how you and I got saved. How did you and I get saved? Jesus said, come if you will. It's the same way. Your walk with the Lord is with the Lord. We are just ministers or servants of God to say, enjoy the liberality and the freedom and the relationship that you have in Christ. I'm not here, and Paul was not there, to do anything else but to point them back to the Lord Jesus Christ and to enjoy the rest. Nobody goes far or understands the Spirit of God if it's just a bunch of T's to cross and I's to dot. But if we say, Lord, bid me to come. Bid me to come, Lord. It's then that God says, okay, come and you can walk on the water. And what's the problem with that, though? We get distracted. The Corinthian church got distracted. And Paul was trying to get their eyes back on Jesus so that they can continue to glorify the Lord. That's walking on the water. We can't do that. But God wants to do that in and through our lives. So here's the problem. If we're failing, it's a misunderstanding on our part. Because God says, I want to glorify myself through you. Isn't that what he says? I want to glorify myself through you. So if he's not glorifying himself through us, then we have an opportunity to bring it before the Lord and say, Lord, it's not working. Undoubtedly, I've misunderstood something or gotten in your way or misunderstood. I mean, I know you saved me and I've experienced you speaking to me through your word, but undoubtedly something is off. And so I'm bringing it before you to fix it. And I don't even know what to ask you for. But I'm so glad you've given me the Holy Spirit who can straighten that all out for me and take care of business for me. That's approaching the Lord in sincerity. And then lastly, notice this. Verse 23. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith. Did you see that? Not for that we have dominion over your faith. We're not lords over your faith. But listen, but are helpers of your joy. By faith ye stand. Listen, we are helpers of your joy. Listen, if you can see the Lord in your life, would you enjoy that? If you can see God taking down the giants in your life, would you take credit for that? You think David, look what I did. Yeah. How many hours? You want to tell you how? Let me tell you my workout routine to get that sling going just the way it did. There was no routine. I do not believe Samson was a muscle-bound man. I believe he looked just like any other man. The strength came from the Lord, not his muscles. So listen, I cannot tell you, you know, just starting out, and he must have had biceps like coconuts. No, I think he had just a regular man's arm. See, you see the natural tendency? He must have been something else. No, he was nothing. It was his God that was everything. Do you see our problem? We've got this tendency to rely on ourselves and forget that we are nothing and we need God for everything. We get these wonderful ideas and ask God to sanction and bless them instead of saying, God, how about you show me your ideas and show me your ways? You see the difference? And so Paul says this. Listen to this, verse 24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith. Do you know that God doesn't want anyone to have dominion over your faith? Nobody is the boss of your faith. Well, let me make a correction. You are. You are the boss of your faith to how much you have of it and what you're going to ask God to do with it. You're going to say, Lord, I don't need anything, or God, I have nothing without you. That's faith. I don't need anything. I'm okay the way I am. Or faith is going to say, I see what you're saying and it doesn't line up in my life. So faith says, I'm coming to the Savior and asking him to fix it because I want to see him in my life. And then God is going to show you something personally, that's going to build your faith. And you will have an opportunity to walk in that truth. And it comes from his word and it comes by prayer. See, Brother Tom Smith had a revelation from the Lord in the book of Proverbs, and he had a choice to make. I'm either going to acknowledge that as from the Lord, and he did, and he grew exponentially. Or we can say, that's just a coincidence, and continue kicking the dog. But he didn't do that. We can continue on our path, or we can allow the Lord, seek the Lord in all sincerity to direct our path. Do you see the difference? In all our ways, we're to acknowledge him. Amen. Not just, and then he'll direct our paths. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But if we just acknowledge him while we're at church and we don't acknowledge him, God, this is not right. God, I know this is not right. Lord, you need to fix this. I can't fix it. You fix it. In all our ways, if we acknowledge him, then he'll direct our paths. But we've got to bring all of it to him, not just what we want, all of it. All right, so again, and then we're done. Verse 24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith. This is the Apostle Paul. Isn't that good? If anybody had the right to have dominion over anybody's faith, maybe we would consider Paul, but Paul is saying nobody has dominion. Just you. You decide what you do with your faith. It's just between you and the Lord. God has made you the overseer over your faith. And then notice this. But our helpers of your joy, and then God says this, for by faith or trust in the Lord, that's how you'll stand. By trusting in the Lord, in his direction, that's how you'll stand. And that is what God means to be delivered. It's not that we're not going to experience trials, and you know, we saw that in difficulties, but it's what we do with God is giving to us and doing in us. Do we present it before the Lord and say, God, guide me in that? I'll make a mess of it. Don't we? We make a mess when we try to handle it. But if we'll bring it before the Lord, listen, not only will God glorify himself through us, but we'll experience the grace of God like never before. The invitation is the Lord's. The opportunity is ours. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the wisdom and understanding that it brings into our hearts and minds. Lord, I pray that you would have your way and your will. Lord, that we would yield the right of way to you and seek you, Lord, in what you want to do in and through us for your honor and glory. Bless, Lord, the membership of Northwood Baptist Church and all who are here and in the hearing of your word. May you have your will and your way. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.